Welcome to Charting Change in Legal. I'm Ari Kaplan, an analyst that covers the legal industry, and I'm here with my co-host.
Caroline Hill, I am the editor-in-chief of Legal IT Insider. It's great to be here with you, Ari.
It is so much fun every single time we connect. I'm so glad that we're doing this. I can't believe we've done 20 episodes of this program, let's call it. And I look forward to our conversation today. It's been a couple of weeks, and we've both been up to some interesting, activities. Although I have to say, when I knew we were talking today, I kept thinking, "Gosh, we're already through the first quarter of the year,"
That. I know.
and it's
Can I just
yes,
say
please.
congratulations on today? It is Ari's 1,000th episode of his virtual lunch, which is just sheer dedication. I'd like to give a big round of applause for Ari.
Everyone in my family would be laughing. They'd be like, "Oh my gosh, my dad and the virtual lunch. Unbelievable." But it is, I thank you for saying that. I won't spend too much time on it, but it is very cool and it's very consistent with my personality, but with my philosophy on accomplishing things, like just the sort of chipping away. It's not the 1,000 virtual lunches or the 1,000 anything. It's sort of the one at a time. The one from
Yeah.
yesterday and the one for tomorrow, and then the one for Friday and the one for Monday. And I just feel like I try to do that in a lot of different things. And, if nothing else, I probably hopefully act consistent with my brand and with what I suggest other people do. But the truth is, it's really a wonderful community. It's affected me in so many positive ways. And I appreciate you acknowledging it. So thank you.
And actually, I've learned lots of things from you over the past year in particular, but consistency is definitely one. There is something to be said, a lot to be said for doing something, obviously doing it well, focusing on doing it to the best of your abilities, all of that stuff, but also just doing it, right? Just
Right,
doing
just
it. I've
showing
learned
up.
that from you.
Just
Just show up, right?
my I have a friend who's now a very successful coach, and she used to say that her technique and her strategy was to make a deal with yourself that just don't focus. And there's, I'm a big fan of James Clear and Atomic Habits, but when she talked to me about this, she's like, "Don't talk." This is with respect to running or swimming or whatever. She's like, "Don't think tomorrow I'm going to get up and run 4 miles or something." She'd say, just make a deal with yourself that you'll get up at a certain time. Like that's the first deal. And then make another deal with yourself. You'll just get dressed. You'll just put on a running outfit. You don't have to go out to run. Your deal is just, and it was very interesting. It was sort of just like, all right, just tell other people you're going to do this and then show up when they show up and see what
Yeah.
happens. And so, I
This
mean,
is
it's a little
great.
more,
It's a great show. And actually having that specific time, like with habits, you've got to make sure that they happen. And by having, specific time and a place and you show up and they know where you're going to be, you created this environment where I admire you for it so much because it's a big commitment, turning up every day, even when we've been together at conferences. So anyway, so
Yes,
congratulations.
thank you. Thank you. Well, one thing I will say is that it has moved in many ways from a community for support, right? Because it started on March 16, 2020, to an opportunity to showcase thought leaders and people who are changing our industry. And we had yesterday Reggie DeBoer, who's the chief client officer at United Lex, but we've had hundreds of so many fascinating. I mean, you just wrote Shilpa's profile, and I would love to talk about that because I first interviewed her. Why don't you start? Tell us why you wrote that profile. Tell us a little bit about her, and then I could tell you, why I was lucky to connect with her and learn from her.
So Shilpa is the she's had many she's had nine different roles at Linklaters. She started out as a lawyer in the energy. She wanted to build roads and bridges, and particularly in emerging markets. So she joined their infrastructure practice. And I hope I've got that right, actually. But so she was a practicing lawyer. She was very instrumental in developing their India practice. It was at a time when they were trying to work out, how they deliver services in those markets to clients. So this was many years ago. And she's just had this amazingly amazing circuitous career where she's just gone with her gut. She's followed her instincts. She's had to move around the world with her husband, and because she puts it down to luck. So when I knew her first, I think she was global head of innovation at Linklaters. So in her more recent roles, she's moved away from being a lawyer to take over innovation roles, and she's now the co-chair of their Gen AI committee. She's head of Create IQ, which is their contract lifecycle management practice, because Linklaters is obviously building a lot of different services on top of its legal practice, and Shilpa's been really instrumental in those. She's very modest, and she puts a lot of it down to luck, or serendipity. I love that word. She says serendipity, but actually, what she says is, and I found it so inspirational talking to her, because particularly at a time when young people, or not even young people, but lawyers are thinking about what their career will look like and what the avenues and options are, and it no longer looks the same as it probably did when we were in practice. It's very much like, oh, I could do this and I could do this. So she's really inspirational. And what she really does, I think, is she nurtures people. She has such a, she's really great with people. And so people want to open doors for her. She has a great network. She's clearly smart. She was their first trainee from an Indian university. And she has built relationships with people so that at different times in her career, when she's been looking for the next thing, she's had a conversation with people, often at Linklaters when she's moved away. And they've said, oh, hey, I'm like, she came back to the firm at one point to as COO of their India practice. She then smashed that, clearly, did achieve got it to sort of an operational level. And then she moved on to do the same with Africa, setting up a partnership with Webber Wentzel. And so she's just at different times. But my favorite, and then I'll let you talk, my favorite thing, because being a mum and having gone through the same thing and not responded to it in the same way as her, and I think this maybe speaks to us all, giving ourselves just I don't know, just thinking about how do I find creative ways of solving my own problems. She had two children. She was overwhelmed by all the emails from parents and like juggling and one sports day, one's the trip to the theatre, whatever. So she and a friend built an app. Called COO, COOP, COO, I forget what it stands for, but and which was a kind of WhatsApp slash Google Calendar type thing, which went on to be a big success and was acquired by this online company called Classlist. They bought it from them. And it just makes me laugh, because I didn't even most of the time remember when sports day was, right? I certainly didn't build an app. And it's just, I think it's just speaks to, have ideas, nurture your ideas, build your network, and just don't think that you have to go in one straight line. That's what I really loved about it.
I actually had the privilege of interviewing her for Latera TV. You and I were both hosts there when they were having actual live discussions on YouTube. This is back in the summer of 2020. And I remember thinking that she would push herself into positions where she could learn and thrive and grow and contribute. And we've been having lots of conversations about this recently. I mean, in any conversation I have with leaders, and I ask them challenges, whether they're in-house or with law firms, often the challenge is navigating what the newer generation wants out of work, how to get them to want to come in every day, right? Fundamental kinds of things, the work-life balance, the focus, and I always just wonder if people miss sight of the opportunity to put themselves in those positions where serendipity kind of occurs, where magic happens. And so the fewer opportunities to engage, the fewer opportunities you have. They say the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I think that that is a really important point. I don't think everyone appreciates that, because I always think, a lot of this is an adventure. It's not burdensome, or the networking or scheduling something or chipping away on a consistent basis is not so much a burden as much as an exciting what's going to happen kind of opportunity. And she really embodied that when I talked to her, and it was great to read your profile of her. So I'm glad we're chatting about it. I think it's so important that we highlight that.
Jen, the newest generation, though, I think she's probably unusual. One of the reasons she's unusual is because she's more of our generation, right? But I think that the new generations of lawyers, I just think, have a different mentality, and I don't think that they intend to stick in one job. I think that they, they're actually, I've been hearing some really funny stuff about, and I don't know how this has come about, but they expect to leave at six, like they're sort of being pandered to, they don't expect to work till seven, right? And there's all sorts of different expectations, including that they will do different stuff and they will work for different, I think. But how, whether they do that with so much fun, that's a really interesting point, because I think, if you have to have that culture of curiosity, about you. And I think people love that. People love working with people who have that culture of curiosity and wanting to, be involved in this and solve this, and, not just go through the motions of, right, well, I'm going to go to this job or that job. I think that there's got to be that sort of, oh, hey, let's, how can we do this in a different way? And, it's not just a case of moving, it's a case of how the mentality behind it. So I think the new generation probably have the expectation of doing different roles, but whether they have that excitement that you're talking about, I don't know, because you're right, that's really key.
Well, you and I are both writers, so we know the feeling of having someone who probably shouldn't take our call to take our call because we're going to write about them or feature them. And I remember when I was a very young lawyer and I had to miss a department meeting, a luncheon that we had on a scheduled basis. And they said, Ari, why aren't you coming to the meeting? I said, oh, I'm having lunch with the general counsel of whatever. And I was, probably, I think I was in my late 20s, maybe. I'm trying to think of how young I was. I was not as old as I am, or as young as I am now. And and they were like, how did that happen? And I said, I called him. And it was like so uncomplicated. The person was much more senior. Like, I don't understand. And I was like, I don't understand either, but it's awesome. And we're going to have lunch now. And they were just like dumbfounded. And I just felt like nobody wants to make the call because they're so nervous or they're so uncomfortable. But if you kind of put yourself in the path of opportunity, it like magic happens. I think that there's a really important point there. And I think she's a great example. So I'm glad you featured her. And and congratulations, of course, to her and continued success. So yeah. So
You.
we
What interviews have you done?
What interviews?
Yeah.
Oh, I am just thankfully the fourth part of my general counsel report has just come out. I interviewed 60 general counsel in 11 countries. I think it was 11, it could be 13, but in 11 countries. And just fascinating. I love when it comes out iteratively. So it usually comes out in three or four parts, depending on how voluminous the research is. This year was particularly compelling, and there were so many perspectives. And just, I think we work in a very generous community in the sense that people really want to share what they're learning in an effort to then learn what others are doing and how that can kind of raise us all up. And I think that's a really important point. So it's been particularly interesting. And I usually start these interviews in the summer. So I'm finishing up some research for CLOC, for the Association of Legal Administrators Conference, and then hopefully again interview the kind of the general counsel community. So it's
What were
been
the key
inspiring.
points? What were the key things you were asking them?
I ask about risks, and now it's really become a job of risk management in many ways. It's not so much as isolated legal issues. It's really much more of a holistic enterprise level counselor. And forget about, generative AI or litigation or corporate M&A or contracts or CLM. Every year I try to identify a theme. So in 2020, for example, the theme was general counsel as the chief medical officer, right? And then with all the global instability, supply chain challenges, general counsel as the chief diplomat of the corporation. But this year was really general counsel as the unicorn. The idea that the general counsel is so deeply embedded into security and HR and leadership that this individual needs to have and continue to gain skill sets that are not the same and certainly not as narrow as they were some years ago.
Have you ever interviewed that general counsel you went out for lunch with that
So it's so interesting.
first
That general counsel was super generous to me over the years, just kind to take my call, and wonderful individual who I really wanted to work for. You know, that was ultimately my objective, was not so much client development over the years, because I got to know him so well. It was to get a job with his corporation. And at one point, I was in that situation and did not take the job. I decided I was going to do my own thing, which I'm very glad I did. And so then he retired. So I haven't interviewed him for any of my research, because I started doing the research after those years.
So you were going out on a recruitment lunch when you told everybody that you were meeting this
Well,
GC
at that time, in my defense, I was going out on a "what on earth
at
am I doing" lunch. Like, it was just like an adventure. I was choosing my own adventure in my life at that point, and I had no idea what that lunch was. It was definitely with the mindset of, wow, could I possibly bring in a client at this age? And so that was what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to just put myself in that position if I could. And so,
Sorry to interrupt you. I've been looking at the in-house market a little bit in terms of diversity. So we've been doing a lot around diversity, and I'm speaking at Future Lawyer Week UK about diversity, talking about our event last year about the Say Gap, and then talking about how we're expanding it this year, because last year we focused on women and being encouraging them or giving them the tools to speak in public, which we're still doing this year, but we're broadening it out into a 2-day thing because we're really wanting to address the need for diversity in the round. So in terms of ethnic diversity, so the first day is going to be that. But what's really interesting is I'm at this talk I'm giving at Future Lawyer Week. I'm just doing some research into some of the stats around diversity. I was actually looking at some of the big tech companies in terms of the initiatives that they've really driven over the years, in terms of the types of statistics they are starting to insist or have for a while insisted on in their deal teams, and in the kind of influence that they can have. There's been some controversy in terms of making sure that those programs are correctly directed quite fairly, but no, that's been really fascinating to look at, see where the progress is. I think that's one of the key things. Sometimes it's hard to measure and sometimes it's not. And then on a broader point, I've been looking at some of the research that McKinsey's been doing, which has been really interesting, at looking at success and diversity. They have to say this. That's one observation. McKinsey is way too smart for me. They come up with these diagrams of I can't understand a single thing I'm looking at. Like, they have all of these stats and this, and it's all correlated. And I'm just going to include one in my talk. And I was like, I don't even know what this means. I could include it so I look smart, but then maybe someone will ask me a question. I've got no idea. So I didn't include that. I just took some of the summary around. If in truly with truly diverse a leadership level, and then that filters down companies, there is a direct correlation with success, which is really encouraging to see those kind of results, because it's right at the very basic level, but it's also right at a business level. In terms of you will see an improved performance in really diverse companies. So that's been really fascinating to look at.
we often ask in the general counsel research, certainly about their role in diversity. Sometimes the general counsel is the head of a strategic group. Sometimes the general counsel is responsible for diversity. Sometimes the general counsel is just part of the management committee that deals with it. And I always ask, is there a specific budget? Are there benchmarks? Are there priorities? Is it treated as a focus? And I think that I would say generally there has been a good sense of progress. However, the economy does and did affect how much of a focus it can be, what the resources are. And I think that's an interesting point, right? I mean, as you kind of reallocate priorities in a changing market, I think that there's still questions and challenges about diversity. I mean, you see examples in the news of companies eliminating teams that are focused there and reallocating them or having them do two things instead of just focus on one. So I'm so glad you're doing it. I think it's a super important issue, and I'm glad that the conference is focusing on that.
Well, hopefully that will be, you can see what, you can see that, I can see that happening. But yeah, hopefully this might be, all of the research might be helpful in preventing them from doing that, because there are, if you can say, look, hey, performance is shown, this is such a complex issue, right? I know it's just, there's so many more factors, but yeah, hopefully that research as well will have an impact in the decision-making process. When they're deciding to eliminate those sorts of teams, they can realize how short-sighted that is.
You know, I wanted to throw out a public service announcement that
Yeah.
ILTA, for its conference this summer, has opened a RFP for speakers, and so it's available now. I don't know exactly. I think it closes on April 22nd, but I don't want to give misinformation. You can go to, iltanet.org and check. But I just thought those who might be listening,
Yeah.
for the person who's listening, he she may want to apply. So I just throw that out there because I think it's a great event. I think the more speakers, and you're talking about a diversity of speakers, I think people need to know in order to submit. So the greater awareness we can provide, the better the programming will be, the more opportunities there will be.
It's a great shout out. And actually, I know you're always really great with ILTA and you always get involved, and I always forget to apply. I expect them to come to me because it's not like it's a really big program with thousands
Who
of
wouldn't want you? They should have us just in the lobby with
people.
cookies and some coffee. Not too much coffee, but cookies and some coffee. We just banter with microphones. And we'll see all the other very important people talking to Bob Ambrosi as they should. We'll just be banting around like the two guys in the Muppets.
I'll be running away
Joy
from
Heath
Bob.
Rush is listening. We have an idea for ILTACON. Just the two of us with microphones talking about nothing.
We can be roving reporters. If they give
That's
us
right.
time, we'll just rove around and, well, actually, AKA sit in the executive suite at the Hilton. No, actually, that's New York, isn't it? Sorry, I'm going mad. I've not done Nashville before. It's so exciting.
Yes.
But you know what? So, British Legal Technology Forum, I've spoken a bit about our partnership with them. I've got it's so exciting. I just looked at the mock-up today. I've got a legal, it's a legal IT inside a newsroom at the conference, which is like a dedicated room for interviews. It's got glass panels so that everyone can come, and everyone's going to be able to come in, and we're going to be doing interviews throughout the conference, which is so fun. So this is
Well,
what we need at ILTA. All right, we need that.
I'm
Go.
going to share that clip and I'm going to promote it, and we're going to be the Muppets at ILTA, and it's going to be amazing, Caroline. I feel like that's the note on which we should end our program today. The idea of us doing this live in front of actual people, and hopefully our listener will join us.
Okay, there's a
It is
plan.
as always a privilege, Caroline. I feel so lucky that we get to do this, and I look forward to doing it again. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Speak soon.